Hello and welcome to another episode of Conduit Conversations, bringing you pioneers at the cutting edge of social change. I'm Paul Fonsale, co-founder of The Conduit, a home for people passionate about positive impact. This year, The Conduit has partnered with the Johnson & Johnson Center for Health Worker Innovation to create a podcast series that explores the meaning of care in different communities around the world. From physicians to directors, community workers to advocates, we will be talking to individuals on the ground to discover answers to the question, what is the point of care? In today's episode, I will be talking to two inspiring women who play different roles within the organization Mothers to Mothers. Mothers to Mothers employs women living with HIV as community health workers called mental mothers. They work at health facilities and door-to-door to deliver life-changing health services to women, children, adolescents, and entire families across 10 African countries. It started with just HIV care, but Mothers to Mothers is now focused on expanding into a more integrated health service model to include care for chronic conditions like diabetes and hypertension. These conditions are both more prevalent and more dangerous for people living with HIV in many cases. So this new approach is Mothers to Mothers' way of doubling down to end HIV while also stretching their model into new areas. I am first joined by Shombi Ellis. Shombi is both Country Director of Mothers to Mothers South Africa and Chief of Party for RISE 2. She has over 15 years of expertise in the technical direction and management, capacity building and monitoring and evaluation of evidence-based HIV/AIDS programs in Southern Africa. Shombi has served on international advisory boards of the United Nations and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, amongst many others. And in 2005, she received the U.S. Embassy of Botswana Vanguard Women's Leader Award, which recognizes leadership, community service, and advancement of women's rights and opportunities. Welcome, Shombi.
Thank you so much, Paul, and thank you so much for having us on The Conduit. We look forward to the discussion.
Well, you have a wealth of experience and quite a resume, so I'm kind of awed and excited to be chatting to you. So tell us about Mothers to Mothers. What's the core purpose of the organization and what is the challenge that it was created to solve?
Great, thank you so much. And Mothers to Mothers, also known as M2M, is really a proudly South African NGO. We have more than 1,800 frontline staff that are delivering integrated reproductive, maternal, newborn, child, and adolescent health using the access of education and support at health facilities, but also in communities. We are currently working in 10 African nations, and we also provide services remotely. And you talk about the challenge and really why we're in existence. And I can sort of share some sobering facts of why we do the work that we do. Just to give some context, just here in Africa alone and on this continent, close to 615 million people across this continent cannot access healthcare that they need. And that's why we do the work that we do as Mothers to Mothers, so that we can really bridge that gap and provide those health services and any education support that's needed by our clients. Out of the mothers that we help and out of the mothers that exist here in sub-Saharan Africa, two out of three of those mothers die during pregnancy. So that's something that we can assist with, and we can support, and we can ensure that access to services and healthcare is provided. And then when we look at the younger girls in sub-Saharan Africa, girls account for 6 in 7 new HIV infections among adolescents 15 to 19. So it means they're really vulnerable and they're really highly at risk. So with Mothers to Mothers, we're hoping that our model and the one that we're working with, we can really leverage it to continue to help these women, their families, adolescent girls, adolescent boys, and really ensure that they access care and stay in care, because we really believe that healthy women creates healthy families, and then essentially we're going to create a healthier world. So that's what we do as Mothers to Mothers.
And what's distinctive about the way you do your work? Because you couldn't have grown to the state that you've grown. You couldn't have received the recognition both within South Africa and globally that you have if you hadn't done something different from perhaps the conventional wisdom, what is it that you do that's so interesting and distinctive and different?
Thanks. And we call it the special sauce, the thing that makes us different at Mothers to Mothers. We really work with remarkable women. We train and employ local women who are HIV positive, living positively with HIV, as peer mentors, as community health workers. And they're really the ones that provide the services in these under-resourced health clinics and communities. These women really work. They're mainly known as mentor mothers, educate and support women and families so that they can really work with these women and their families to overcome the barriers that we had talked about around accessing healthcare and ensure that they're receiving their medication on time, they're receiving the health services they need, but they're also staying in treatment. If you can even imagine it, imagine you having almost like a friend or a buddy in health, somebody that walks the journey with you and makes sure that you stay the course in your journey so that you come out on the other side healthier and your child is healthier. So they're remarkable women that have sacrificed themselves and they share their experiences. They live in the communities that they work in, they're trusted in those communities, and they're providing wonderful support to these women, to these communities, to these families. So that's really what makes our model quite unique. It's these women, these mentor mothers that are doing this great work in these communities.
So you spoke earlier about how the model has been expanded to include a different set of services or a more comprehensive set of services. So how has the M2M model been adapted to deliver integrated care services and primary care? And why is this such a priority for the organization?
Great, thanks. We definitely are evolving. We're evolving because we're seeing the dire need. Originally, when Mothers to Mothers started, you know, we started within the education support area, and we had to expand into integrated services to become an integrated primary healthcare organization because we realized that more health services were needed. And we can only do this because in the 10 African countries that we work in and the two that we're going to expand into, our model only works if we're strong in partnerships. So we actually work with the governments in those countries to ensure that we're strengthening the health system. So as M2M, if you enter into a country, you partner with the government, you partner with other stakeholders, and we say, what can we do to make the health system strong? So our focus was first on education, and then as we continued to implement, we realized that we really need to deliver more, and we moved into clinical services. So we looked at testing, we looked at drug dispensing across different health areas. And we went beyond HIV, and we were known mainly for HIV. So now we're in the non-communicable disease space where we're looking at issues of hypertension, diabetes, cervical cancer, and we've moved into other areas where our mentor mothers are doing fabulous work in areas of tuberculosis, malaria. And this is happening at clinic level, but also in the community. And our model works because the families really trust the services that we provide. The facilities that we work in, our mentor mothers are deeply embedded into the government system as well as those facilities. And really, we're providing the services where the families need them, when they need them, and how they need them. So that's how we see ourselves in the next couple of years moving.
So it's clear from this account that you're a learning organization, an evolving organization who responds bottom up from the needs of the community. So what are the next steps for M2M? What are you going to do to improve the quality of healthcare offered to communities in South Africa?
And it's almost like you knew that we are actually rolling out our 5-year strategic plans. There are a lot of things that are on our mind. Next steps are making sure that as much as we have so much we want to achieve in the next 5 years and beyond, our DNA is not really going to change because we've realized the impact of having these wonderful women and peer mentors that engage with communities, engage with families to be able to tackle the health challenges that are on the ground. So we want this ripple effect to still continue because this is the impact that we've been able to achieve. And we know that essentially the health systems can be strengthened through the work that these women continue to do. So we'll continue to serve women of course, adolescents, young men, young women, boys and girls. We are expanding into special populations, so maybe hankering down a lot more on men and really looking at them as a priority group. We're looking at men who have sex with men, commercial sex workers, and also intravenous drug users, because we realize that the need is far and wide and there is room for us to expand what we're doing. We, as an organization, are always committed to the employment of African women as community health workers. We've proven time and time again that this model works. We've proven time and time again that if you have women that lead their peers, that are skilled, that are empathetic, that provide services to their community, really, we can really help women and children and families stay, access services and stay in care. So those are our plans for the next couple of years.
Thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me, Shombi. I'm incredibly grateful.
Thank you so much. And it was great being here.
So my second guest in today's episode is Millicent Magwa. It was in 2002, at the peak of the HIV epidemic in South Africa, when Millicent found out that she was living with HIV. At the time, hundreds of thousands of people were dying from AIDS-related illnesses each year in South Africa, and antiretrovirals were not yet publicly available to all. Stigma and discrimination towards people living with HIV was also at its highest. After a long journey to get treatment herself, Millicent was motivated to join Mothers to Mothers 2 years ago. In her current role, Millicent works door-to-door in her local community, delivering services designed to prevent and treat HIV in adults and children, integrated with services to identify and manage non-communicable diseases, which are a large and growing health issue for those living with HIV. So, welcome, Millicent, and tell us about your journey that led you to join Mothers to Mothers.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to join Mothers to Mothers because at the time in 2002, when I found out that I was HIV positive, I didn't have a lot of support. I was clueless about HIV. I didn't have any information at all. Like, being HIV at that time, it was just like a death sentence. I thought I was dying and there was no treatment publicly available. So I had to rely on Google to find out more information. I had to watch television shows just to see if there was any other people living with HIV. When I became a mental mother, so I felt like I needed to help other women who are living with HIV. So I feel like no one should be alone on this journey. So being a mental mother, you give the person health education, you make sure that the entire family is healthy. So in the community, it's high-risk clients that we are visiting, people who are having non-communicable diseases, people living with HIV, and also adolescent. It's either HIV positive or HIV negative, because it's also prevention that we are doing in the community.
So tell us what a day in the life of a community mental mother looks like. What are the sorts of things that you'll do on a daily basis? What does your role entail?
Okay, on daily basis, we start at the facility. So when we arrive at the facility, we have like a WhatsApp group where we report that we are on duty. And then we also do COVID screenings. And after that, what we do is in the facility, we do health educational talks, like we'll be in different areas in the facility where there'll be mental mothers and there'll be other people waiting to be called for treatment. So it's either the general side will be, and the health educational talks, it's based on the audience, what type of people are seated at the waiting areas. For instance, by the general waiting areas, we'll do topics like about non-communicable diseases or about lifestyle changes. And also we have areas where there's postnatals. It will be health educational talks related to babies. It's either immunizations or it's about about danger signs of infants and all those things. And also we have an antenatal waiting area. So antenatal, it also talks related to pregnancy that we are doing that side. And also after the talks are done, we go into different areas at the facility. So in the different areas at the facility, it's postnatal and antenatal. By postnatals, like we'll be assisting the clinicians to do like baby weights, we'll do, and all these things that we are assisting with, it's not actually part of our job descriptions, but we do it so that we have a relationship with the clinicians. So we're helping out with doing the baby weight, and then we do the work, and then we do the heights for the babies. And also once that is done, and then we start with our one-on-one interaction with the client. So once the clinicians are done with the client, then the client will be speaking to a mental mother where she'll be getting health education. And then once that is done, the same thing is happening by the, it's postnatal and antenatal. So in those two different areas, we do one-on-one interactions with the clients. So after that is done, like maybe after 10 a.m., the community mental mothers, then they will have to go to the community. The community is where, as I've mentioned before, that we visit high-risk clients. When I mention high-risk clients, is clients who are having non-communicable diseases, clients with living with HIV and AIDS, adolescents who are HIV negative and HIV positive. So when we go to the community, we do door-to-door with the mental mothers. So when we are there in the community, we do screenings for COVID. After the screenings for COVID is done, then we'll be having a one-on-one interaction with the client where we check the vitals of the client. If the client is having non-communicable diseases, we do planning about the lifestyle changes the client is supposed to do. We'll be doing planning about the goals that she wants to achieve. And after the planning is done, we look at the vitals. If the client is hypertension or diabetes is uncontrolled, then we give health education according to that. And then once that is done, we also look at the infant. We need to look at the book, the clinic card for the infant, and check if all the immunizations are done on time, and also check the PCRs. PCRs are tests that are done on HIV exposed children, meaning babies who are born with women who are living with HIV. So we check if that is done on time, and also we check the milestones of the children and all of that. So once that is done, we also look at other household members at the household. So it's not just the mother and baby we are looking at. It's other people who are also staying at the household. So we having an app that we are using on the phone. So everything is done on the app. We call it ComCare. So we look at the app and we put everything on the app. Once that is done, then we do referrals. So, most of the time we'll be referring people. It's either to Home Affairs, maybe to do birth certificate if the child doesn't have a birth certificate, or else we also do referrals for ID books, identity documents, and also the referrals that we do is also to social services. Maybe this person needs to see a social worker, or a person needs to be referred to the police station for GBV. That's the referrals also that we are doing. And also, once we do screenings for cervical cancer, we also need to refer them if there's any problems to the clinic, to the facility. So that's what we do, basically.
Amazing, amazing stuff. So what kind of impact do you see that your work is doing? You describe this whole panoply of different services and interaction and information that you provide. Have you tracked, or have you seen, or are you capable of in any way conveying the impact that you're having on the lives of women living with HIV in communities in South Africa and across the continent?
There's a lot of impact that we are doing in the community because, for instance, if there's a client that we're seeing, the client maybe was not adhering to treatment. So when a mental mother continuously visiting the household and giving health education, the person becomes stable in treatment. So which means that's a big impact. Is the life? It's like a lifestyle change to the person. And also some people, like clinicians, they don't have the time to explain medications to the clients. So us as mental mothers, if you go to a household and then the person is having diabetes or hypertension, you sit down with the person, make the person understand what is it to be having hypertension or diabetes or HIV, and then you also explain about the adherence, how the treatment is supposed to be taken and all those things. So it's a lot of impact that we are doing because the person will feel like she's not alone anymore, and then she has someone to talk to whenever there's a problem or whenever she needs advice.
And if you take a step back based on the work that you do, what would be your vision or what would you hope for the future of local, community-driven, community-owned healthcare in Africa? What would that look like in a perfect world?
My vision for my community is that it's an HIV-free generation. I'm hoping in future we'll be having no people living with HIV, and then those who are living with HIV be stable in treatment. That's what I'm hoping for. And also, unemployment is a big problem in my community. So I wish that maybe the government can create more opportunities for the adolescents.
Well, Millicent, thank you so much for joining me. It's been so wonderful to be able to speak to both of you, both at a sort of organizational leadership level and also at the frontline delivery level, and to hear both the deep skill and intelligence and care that you both bring to this work, and a real model that has been proven over time that really leads to a demonstrable improvement in people's lives. So it's been an honor and a privilege to talk to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Conduit Conversations in partnership with the Johnson & Johnson Center for Health Worker Innovation. Please do subscribe. This podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For more information about The Conduit and our community of changemakers, please visit theconduit.com.